Donald Jeffries.
Donald Jeffries.
Author of Hidden History and Survival of the Richest. Host of The Donald Jeffries Show. Billy Ray Valentine.
Billy Ray Valentine.
Host of the Infinite Fringe podcast. Researcher, truth seeker from the Bronx, New York. Tony Arterburn.
Tony Arterburn.
Radio host, combat veteran, precious metals analyst, and alt historian. Together, they take on the headlines of the week, decode the disinformation, and plow through the mainstream propaganda. Unauthorized, unscripted, and unintimidated.
Unintimidated.
This is America Unplugged.
What's going on, everybody? It's America Unplugged. It's Saturday, right here, noon on Rockfin, AmericaUnplugged.com, FreeWorld.fm. You guys know the deal. Hope everybody is doing well. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, fresh off an earthquake. We just walk right through those things here in New York. They happen. We just keep on going. It's not an issue. Actually, it was kind of an issue. We'll talk about it here. It was my first real earthquake. I was around during 2010, but I didn't feel it. I felt this one. And it was a 4.8. If it would have been anything more than that, I was telling my wife, I think this whole place would have came apart. Cause it was visibly, I felt it, you know, I could feel it. And there was no mistaking what was going on, you know, here in the Bronx. Anyway, it was a little bit stronger in Manhattan. You know, it was a little bit different. Some people didn't feel it at all. You know, but here in the Bronx, we felt it. So it was a thing. There weren't crisis actors. It's not made up. You know. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and we'll get to the rest of the crew in just a second. But I was thinking about this yesterday, how people say, you know, if I was in my cabin at wherever the hell, right, you are, and I never turned on the TV, and I didn't read, I never got on the internet, I wouldn't have known that COVID existed because nothing changed for me. Could do the same argument here, right? I mean, if you weren't in the tri-state area or in Pennsylvania, you don't know that the earthquake happened or not, right? You could just sit there and plead ignorance. Well, no, it nothing happened to me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Well, yeah, it does. Things do happen whether you know them or not. Right. A tree probably does make a noise if no one's there to hear it. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's not the best analogy to use because you need an ear. But you know what I mean? Tony Arterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It's good to see you and Don. I think that your theory holds true. Look what happened to Africa during COVID. They don't have CNN. They don't have that infrastructure of Mockingbird Media,
right?
And they kind of shrugged, you know. And then they had a very low vaccination rate, all that. I mean, it's just Africa led the way.
Good for them.
Yeah, they did, and they're leading the way right now on pushback against central bank digital currency. Still, so
you know, we need the rise of something to push back on all of this. There's a lady I've been listening to this book. Listening because I'm not reading it. I'll tell you about it. Or they were talking about the financial system and how the dollar has been weaponized and they date it back to Joe Biden and the Ukraine and that entire situation when they decided to weaponize the dollar against Russia. But it goes back further than that, and they talk about Bretton Woods and a couple of other things, and it's really interesting to see. And then she talks about BRICS, right? And how they're launching an offensive pretty much to change the world order. And if we ever really talk about a new world order, that's it, right? The old world order is the dollar. That's the old world world order. And the new world order is going to be whatever's coming after that to change things. And I wasn't really Tony talks about the history of Bretton Woods and all this stuff all the time, you know, but listening to this, it gave me a little bit more clarity. And I'm like, oh, God, this is what happened. So it clued me in a little bit on all of this. And this was all meant to fall apart at some point, in my opinion. This was not going to be able to. This system is not sustainable. It is not. It is only a matter of time because in reality, it's not necessary. This is all based on perception, man, from what I can tell. Anyway, Don Jeffries, the legendary. What's up?
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm looking at the chat, and we got now we have Chris Buck, and now we have Duke Valentino here. So we should feel ashamed of ourselves. We're a bunch of cowards because we're not talking about white genocide. Look, man, I don't know how much more I can talk about the great replacement and talk about white. So you must not be reading my stuff, Duke. Read my Substack, the last one I wrote, where I called out Zionism. I talked about the great replacement, the war between blacks and Jews. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say, man. So. Hopefully, but you're still listening, so that's a good thing, I guess.
Let me talk to my white brothers and sisters out there. All my beautiful white brothers and sisters, listen. Have babies. Ton of beautiful white women walking around, and no one wants to touch them. Go have babies. This is a very simple fix. All right, it's not about your career. Right. It's not about sitting in the office. It's not about freaking advancing monetarily. No. If you want to reverse these numbers, it's very simple. Go have sex with a willing woman.
That's right.
Very simple.
Yeah.
These are I'm running for president. All right. And I'm going to have simple.
More sex for whites. Yeah. There you go. That's the campaign.
You know, white people have sex. Simple fixes to America's problems. Make America simple again. I will fix the border on freaking day one, and I will fix it on day one, right? And then I will push for a reversal of the great replacement and try to level things out by encouraging white people to go out and have sex.
Well, you could be the what's the black guy's name? He's hilarious. Jesse Patterson or something. Have you seen the black preacher? And part of his campaign is he's, you know, demanding that whites have more babies. Well, and he talks about it. And it's hilarious because there's no white doing that. I could tell you that. But you're Duke or Chris, any of these guys, everybody that says the Jews are running everything. And look, I talk about that all the time. They're wildly disproportionate power. But that doesn't mean when they're holding a gun to your head.
Right.
And they're making whites not have babies. Stop falling for the stupid propaganda. Think for yourselves.
We need to think, and this is going to lead into the greater conversation of, you know, it really is, because I was, you know, last week I played the audio of that guy from Venezuela, which I think Chris Buckin would call my cousin, because he says I'm going to let all my cousins come in.
He's talking about your cousins again.
Right. My cousin from Venezuela that I don't know. I am American. I was born here. You know, my family's American. If I go to Honduras, they'll call me American because I am, right? I'm not from Honduras, right? You know, I wouldn't know how to live out there. Puerto Rico is a part of the United States, so I'm even more American than you think. But regardless of that, I came to the conclusion that some people you're just not going to change regardless. And I feel bad sometimes because I'm arguing with people and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything. Nothing's going to change. They had a whole focus group. I don't know when it was done, but it was a mock focus group for Trump supporters. And they played Trump saying some ridiculous crap in AI, right? It wasn't real. But they wanted to see how far they can push these people. And at one point, he was talking about that he was going to get a paternity test for his daughter to see if she was really his daughter so he could have sex with her. And people were making excuses for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm like, this is how bad the mind control is. So it made me feel a little bit better about the situation. Just saying.
Chris is saying white women are stupidest and crazy. And he said they program dumbass white women. Yeah, I know they do. But that doesn't mean then your problem is with them. I mean, why are they buying the programming?
Right.
You know, I just say, look, we have to, you know. Be aware of the programming, and it's our fault for buying. I mean, white people, you know, I when I talk about any of this stuff, I blame white people. I don't blame anybody else because they're the ones that absorb the programming and put these dumb people in charge and so forth. But
I'm just saying, man, you want to fix this? It's a very easy fix. It's fun too, right?
That's right.
So go fix it. Stop the nonsense. We always talk about it, right? You gotta do it yourself, right? You gotta get yourself up, discipline, Let's stop bitching about it and do something about it. It's very simple to fix. Let's stop the nonsense here. All right? Okay. Tony Arterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. Don Jeffries, there was an earthquake here in New York City, 4.8. And that has sparked conspiracy theories and all types of stuff within the alternative media. Of course, right? And Don was talking about it a little bit. We're going to kick the subject around. I want to talk about Diddy and Epstein because this is getting crazy, right? But all of this leads in together anyway. So here is the scenario with the earthquake. It was a 4.8 on the Richter scale, give or take. Some people say 4.7, but the accepted number is a 4.8. And the eclipse is on 4.8, right? It's on Monday. That we're going to get the total solar eclipse. We did an episode with Jason Lindgren, Wayne McCroy, Kroll 777. It's been very well received, where they broke down the symbolism. And this is what we do here in the alternative media, and people want to hear it. They broke down the symbolism. They did say that nothing was going to happen, though. They did say this, you know, and they said, keep that in mind. Nothing will happen. They're like, what happened in 2017? What happened in 20, you know, whenever the hell else these things happened? They're like, nothing, you know, but this is the energies around it. This is the symbolism behind it. But that's not how the alternative media works, right? We are paranoid. So the American paranoia, but it's worldwide paranoia. And every little thing makes us jump. What's going down? What are they distracting me from? Why are they making me pay attention? And there's a reason for this. We've been abused psychologically as a people for some time. And this is what they try to ignore when they poo-poo conspiracy theory. How did we get here? That being said, we need to realize when things have gone a little bit too far and when it's detrimental to what we're trying to do overall. So, numerology-wise, they're saying that there's a link here, right? And then we're going to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that you must repent. The earthquake was a judgment from God to New York and the tri-state area. Don, I'm throwing it to you first, sir, and then I'm going to Tony. What are you thinking about the most recent conspiracy theory of a 4.8, 4.8, April 8th, the whole deal? Is it a coincidence? Is it not? What do we have to look forward to?
And that's the worst part of the alt media and the conspiracy world. You know, of course, I'm wrapped up in it. I'm down the rabbit holes, but they respond to everything that happens.
Right.
If they say it happens, a lot of times they say it doesn't happen, but anything that happens, I mean, earthquakes have been around obviously forever. They're a common occurrence. There've been way worse earthquakes than this.
Oh yeah.
Certainly. And I was intrigued a little bit. The one in Haiti, I guess, some years back. That was the first time people and Nikola Tesla's earthquake machine that he supposedly invented back in the day was mentioned. So I don't put it past the people that run things to do this. I mean, why wouldn't they? They do all kinds of horrible stuff. So yeah, if they do have an earthquake machine from Tesla or anybody else, why, of course they would do this kind of stuff. But it's the alt media, the way they respond to it. And certainly when you have the Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she's, that's that Old Testament stuff that scares people away right. from God, saying that God would, you know, have an earthquake and it wasn't a deadly earthquake. So I'm not sure, you know, what maybe it was a little message or something.
Repent.
But yeah. Repent. So it's stupid to do that because again, it's just, you just make yourself look foolish. And but even that's her character, I guess. But yeah, I don't really understand that. They claim that some people in Virginia heard it. But I have the world's most sensitive dog here who just goes, is distraught when there's a strong wind and we have to calm her down all day. So if there had been any trace of an earthquake, my entire day would have been full trying to console her. And she didn't react at all. So obviously there was no rumblings in Virginia. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think people need to, you know, sometimes as you know, one of the big conspirators, Sigmund Freud, said one true thing he did say is sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Sometimes an earthquake is just an earthquake.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what it was. And it was just an earthquake. Luckily, it wasn't that bad, but it did happen. It was a thing. Yeah. Mr. Arterburn, what are you thinking about the alternative media's reaction to all of this and how the mainstream is playing? I mean, that's the crust of this conversation is how the mainstream is reacting to it and how they're using it to put us into a corner, to paint us in the worst possible light. And they're making us look like idiots because we're making ourselves look like idiots in a lot of ways. What's up, Tom?
Well, 4.8, I think that's the height of Duke in the chat.
Damn.
Is he 4'8"? He's if I'm a coward, he's the world's shortest Fed.
Jeez.
Thanks for joining.
Holy crap. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Tone.
Well, just saying, if I'm a coward, you're the world's shortest Fed. Yeesh. So fuck off. let's say this is where we always go with alternative media, and it gets into full retard. That's right. Where we go. I mean, it's just, I see all the, you know, everything with the eclipse, and I was paying attention to something that was interesting with Taiwan, and the Taiwan earthquake just happened last week. And the first thing that came to my mind was actually using like an earthquake weapon, because we've seen, like Don mentioned, Tesla with that technology. And I'm fascinated by that. They could use, while you're getting geared up to look at something else, and especially using a celestial event like an eclipse, that would be an opportune time to pull something else off, whether with the markets, whether in politics or something like that. So I don't know, there's probably always something to it, and there's something to the stars. There's something to celestial movements, or there is absolutely something to that.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to find, you're not going to find there's a lot of intel from TikTok, clips and things like that. I think if you're paying attention to this, look at history, see what's happened before, what could they use an opportunity for, any kind of outages to do something, to pull something off. Yeah, you always want to be paying attention when there's events like this. But I don't think that it is, I don't think Nerubu, the planet X, is going to be coming into our orbit or anything like that. And I think it'll just be another day on the calendar. But, you never know. If the sun comes up in the morning, there's opportunities for just about anything.
Did you guys see in the chat that who's the guy's name? Bronx Stomper 111 said, yesterday on Tim's pool show, they were saying that the epicenter was at Trump's property in New Jersey. So there you go.
Oh,
even the earthquakes are coming after Trump now.
What? Hold on for a second. Where is that? Is that here? Yeah, there it is.
Yes. I knew Trump was behind epicenter. Us somehow or involved.
Dude, thing. Man, and I don't know this to be true. I'm taking your word for it at this point, but I'm going to go back to listen. I listen to Tim Pool sometimes just to torture myself and just to get a sense of what's going on. And he has a huge podcast. I mean, people are always listening to that show. I don't get it. I've never understood it. But not only that, I mean, he just makes all the excuses in the world for Trump. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that he said that shit and believed it probably. So, wow. Wow, if he did. But yeah, that's the deal here. Like, so it's on Drudge right now. They're talking about the conspiracy theories. And you know what? Conspiracy theory has crossed over into the mainstream to a point where news agencies are creating conspiracy theory departments, people that are, their expert goal and their only thing is to dissect conspiracy theory, debunk them. And they're not going to get into any real conspiracy theories because they don't want to debate the point. I had Brent Leon, who is one of the people that does this now for a living, I would say. I don't know if it's his only living, but he's making money off of it, is debunking conspiracies. And I placed some rational conspiracy arguments in front of him, and he had nothing for me. And if you don't believe me, just go look at it. It's here on the channel. Right, there's nothing for it, and they actually agreed with a lot of the stuff that I said, because some of this stuff can't be argued, but that's not the stuff they're talking about. They're going to want to talk about, the numerology of the eclipse and the earthquake. And it's gone so far as to permeate throughout the Republican Party that Marjorie Taylor Greene is allowed to say this shit and get away with it and get support out of it. This is how far, and this is my problem. We have the extreme left doing the craziest crap they want to do, they get a ton of crap from everybody in the right, but then we have the extreme right being straight up Alex Jones conspiracy theorist. Straight up. Like Alex Jones won. He won. He created or he groomed all these other alternative media outlets to be just like him. And now it's become the news. Now it's become the news to the point that we're addressing it on Drudge every week. You can find something about conspiracy theories. Thoughts on this, Tony? You worked over there for some time.
Yeah, and again, I think there's a lot of value in a good, great deal of what alternative media does. And we ask questions. That's the beginning of wisdom, really, is just to start asking questions and not just be spoon-fed the narrative from the mainstream media. So these things are necessary. And, you know, I was a guest host on InfoWars for many years. I'm friends with Owen Schroyer and Harrison Smith. And you know, I filled in for David Knight when he was over there. So, you know, I like a diverse pool of ideas and belief systems and philosophies. I'm a free speech absolutist. But I do think that you have to look and see what's profitable. And that's the key. You know, I was on Tinfoil Hat a couple days ago. The episode just dropped, but I was out and I went to do an in-studio Tinfoil Hat in Hollywood. And Sam was great. The crew was great. Johnny and XG. And we were talking about Trump, you know, and that gets thrown around because in our circle, especially in alternative media and what has become, and you've seen this for, by the way, I dropped, you know, we talked about Cambridge Analytica and a lot of the research that you had done, Billy. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what's happened to alternative media because of that movement. And they captured a great many people and it's become very profitable. So like, if you move away from a certain narrative, it's kind of like getting farther and farther away from the sun, you know, like you're getting into a shadow, it gets colder and colder. But if you're looking for the truth and you believe your own analysis and you want to speak, you know, to 100% of what you believe in, sometimes it's not going to be the most popular thing.
Right.
So I think that I like the variety in alternative media, and I don't want to criticize it all the time. I like on things like the eclipse or this be some event coming up. And it starts to look bad. It starts to look really dumbed down. We talked about Q during that show, and you know how Sam believes and Sam Tripoli believes that possibly in the long run it'll be a good thing. You know, over time, because it exposed people to conspiracy, and that's an open question because it exposed it to great research by people like Don Jeffries here, who spent his life uncovering things like the JFK assassination, who wrote Hidden History, who has the footnotes, who did the legwork, and you know, and the long hours of just trying to match up what is the truth. And a lot of that got coupled in with, oh, by the way, JFK Jr. is alive and he's going to be president, you know. And I mean, just, you know, all the ridiculousness of it, or that everybody you see is a hologram and they're running the tribunals at Guantanamo Bay and we've already won. And there's tunnels under DC that, you know, they're all being, they got Army Rangers and Delta Force are going in to get all these elites. And, you know, so they take real stuff like the Federal Reserve and they do all the history of that and they couple it. So that's the problem that we have, is that, you know, it's like Jurassic Park when Jeff Goldblum's character, you know, is telling the guy who makes the park, he's like, you know, you didn't make anything for yourself. You just took things that other people had done and all the work they had done, and you splashed them together and you made this, but you don't really know what you have. And that's in a lot of ways, that's what alternative media has become. And we have to be careful with that because they've taken the backs of, you know, decades and decades of research of real journalism. You know, again, like my friend James Perloff. You know, he's not talked about a lot. He wrote for the John Birch Society for decades. And, you know, he wrote Truth is a Lonely Warrior. The guy's a scholar. He's not popular, you know, I mean, not popular, like in the sense he's not viral and people aren't just going and checking out everything that he does, because there's not a lot of sensation in it. And you got to watch out for that, you know, and especially if your analysis isn't sexy, like, you know, I joke about sending Trump an invoice because I can't do the MAGA stuff inside my research or in my analysis or be true to that, or I'd have a lot of more followers. I mean, my business would be stronger. I'd have a lot more stuff, but I wouldn't be true to myself.
Right.
And so everybody has that decision to make when you're in this business or doing anything that's related to your analysis. And I don't know. I like our team, but I would just say be careful when you're following somebody. Just look at, you know, look at their content, look at their motives.
And yeah, no, I agree. And thank you for injecting that conversation to a larger audience, you know, you know, I would argue that it's just not productive in any sort of way. A QAnon narrative or anything like that. It's just not, because what happens is when you find out that it's nonsense, everything gets thrown out. Everything. Yeah. There is no middle ground. We can't find a middle ground in anything. They've succeeded with their psychological operation. They want to keep you emotional. They want to keep you at odds. This is the core of the operation, and they've totally succeeded. And in the alternative media, it's no difference. What do you get when you're a QAnon aficionado, somebody that has based their belief system on the total conspiracy, right? Of a few like running the world, like demons and all of this other stuff, right? And then going to QAnon, and that's what you're basing your years on, because you're actively involved in it. You're supposed to be a warrior for the truth, right? You're trying to, so your life becomes this. And then you find out that it's nonsense. What happens? You get Brent Lee. You get somebody that shifts all the way to the other side, all the way. He doesn't want to hear anything about the reality of what happened with JFK. He doesn't want to hear anything about the reality of what happened with 9/11. And if he does want to hear it, he only gives it, what is it? Or they only give it, I'm talking about people here, not one person. Like they only pay it lip service, but they're like, you know what? Ultimately, I am done with all of that because it brought me so much pain, deception, and I've wasted my time all this time. So that's what that does, ultimately. Like, I don't think it's productive at all. You know, and to say that it's productive, sometimes it's almost like a cop-out. Take a stand, you know, don't get on the fence about it and say, well, you know, it's not true, but it's productive, you know, in a way, because X, Y, and Z, you're trying to keep those people in. You're not trying to alienate anybody. And I understand that. But ultimately, this isn't working out, people. All right. And that's what you need to hear. It's not working out. Right. And it's not meant for it to work out either. What's up, Don?
Yeah, and I certainly. You know, I've been at this business for a long time, starting with JFK and everything. I can't tell you how many times, again, going back to the 70s and 80s, people in the fledgling conspiracy world at that time, one of the themes was there's not going to be a presidential election in 1980, 1984, 1980. And they still say that every time. Well, whatever the president is, well, you know, they're not going to have an election. Yeah. That's going to be it. This is the last election. And those are the kind of things you get you and how long are we predicting the collapse? I've been saying it forever. I mean, I don't know how this day, I don't know how the stock market's still going up. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Every economic indicator is negative, but somehow they're artificially keeping this thing afloat. It is scary to consider that they could pull the plug on it. But I think that part of our world should, you know, I try not to get into the fear porn stuff because things are obviously horrible and bad, but I think we need to focus on what's happening, why, you know, people not having liberty anymore, having freedoms that they used to have that don't exist anymore. And like my show yesterday that I had that I know a lot of people watch, and I protest, where I wanted to try to focus on just a few of the people, a couple of them that you guys know, that are really struggling in this country because of the rigged economy and how they're not paying people a living wage and jobs are not easy to find. I wish I had my friend Jacob that could have gotten on the show. He used to message me all the time about going to a job that said it was, you know, they had a job opening and they don't have it, or that they were starting at $20 an hour or something, and they never do. They lie.
Nonsense.
So I wish people could understand this, but that's the reality. And I want to focus on that to show and say, you know, you're our leaders, whatever they are, whether they're Jews, Freemasons, you know, aliens, reptiles, whatever. They're awful. They're awful, awful creatures. And we are all, you know, unless you're in that rarefied air, if you're succeeding under it, then you probably think they're great, you know. But for 80% of us or so, they're off. That's what I concentrate on. And the fact that, yeah, everything is a conspiracy because these people are conspirators. This is what they do. They don't know any other way. They literally can't. As Jonathan Swift said back in the 1700s, the author of Gulliver's Travel, you couldn't bribe the judges of his day to do the right thing. You can't bribe the people that are running things. So you go up and try. You think you could bribe Chucky Schumer to become a populist or something and do that? I mean, you can't do it. It's impossible. These people are, whether they've sworn, you signed their soul over to the devil or something, literally, I don't know, but they're sworn to uphold evil. This is what they do. So I like to concentrate on that. But yeah, just making ridiculous predictions. I never make any of those predictions because, first of all, they never come true because we're not in the club. We don't know.
Right.
You know, we don't know what they're planning to do. All I know is that whatever they're doing, it's not going to be for the good of the people. So right. I think we need to concentrate on that. And you can't stop people. And that's what obviously the people are going to speculate. And a certain number of them are probably disinfo agents. You can't prove who, you know? So of course everybody suspects them, you know?
Kanye West called Diddy a fed once.
Yeah.
And at this point it looks like that may be a thing. Right. Mm-hmm. It really does. Right. And this is where the conspiracy theory, right, where we take a win. Right. And we take the victory lap. Right. Because we've been saying this about Epstein for some time, and the conspiracy theory community, the alternative community, was kind of ahead of the game on this, even though there were some outrageous things that were said, kind of spot on a lot of it. And the mainstream had to catch up. Right. They had to play catch up. And now what was considered a conspiracy theory and alternative is now rooted in fact and according to the mainstream and the things that they can discuss. Well, now it looks like Diddy is doing the same thing. I got to bring Poikinen on at some point. It's, hey, I'm going to hit you up, Steve. I'm wake up. He's in the chat. I'm going to hit him up and we'll do a show. We did a show on. Did we or did I do that on AM Wake Up? I'm not even sure, but I'm bringing Mr. Gates on. You should join us, Steve, and we'll talk about Epstein and Diddy together because there's a lot of parallels here, right? So apparently, P. Diddy had his homes videotaped. He had them wired up just like Epstein. You saw video conversations, and there's a whole thing that came out with Diddy's bodyguard. I don't know how true this is or any of this. I'm just telling you what I've seen. And he comes out and says, well, everybody's shook, not just the entertainment world, you know, not just Jay-Z, not just, whomever else he had up in there. And Jay-Z's a big part of it. And that's circulating throughout the interwebs, too. Everybody's talking about how Jay-Z is going to take a fall soon. But he had politicians in there. He had princes in there. You know, like, who's he talking about, right? What prince? Any ideas, you know, that has done this before with Epstein? You know, he had politicians. He said preachers. T.D. Jakes was named, you know, to be at these parties doing all types of crazy crap. How much blackmail do they have on all this stuff? And who is he collecting it for? And for what reason? There was a plane. And now we're getting full on into conspiracy theory here. There was a plane that left. From Miami to some island without Diddy in it. What was it carrying? You know, what type of video evidence was that carrying? You know, or do the feds have it all? And what will the feds release once they see this of who was there doing what with whom? It doesn't look good. I think, and this is just me, my opinion. I think that Diddy's a fed, bro.
Yeah. Wait till you see his Wayfair account.
Tell me something. Tell me what's up, buddy. Good. Good.
Well, you go back to the 60s. Gloria Steinem was on the CIA payroll. I mean, large movement, the feminist movement is Gloria Steinem. Timothy Leary worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. They create culture, Tavistock Institute out of England. So This is, they inject themselves into culture. It's not a far leap to say that they can pick somebody who has, okay, can we analyze the talent of Sean Combs? Mm. I don't know. I don't listen to his music, but I remember that all I knew was him like in flowy things, dancing on different videos throughout the 90s, you know, and
take that. Right.
Exactly. Has a whole new meaning now.
Right.
But why not have your own hip hop Epstein? Right. You know, he's a hip hop Epstein, and it's like a gateway. It's a gateway to who can be seen, who can see. Influencers are important, and now that the internet's kind of gotten away from them, we live in this world where, you know, you still they don't know how to quite steer the narrative, but they're not like the days of Epstein, or you can't really do that anymore. Not like they did, not on that same operation level, but they use things in other ways, perhaps. And I think Diddy, and as more comes out, I think we'll see, he most likely has some kind of ties with everything that's being revealed. That would seem a likely scenario. When you were gone, Don, I was mentioning that in the 60s, you know, Gloria Steinem was on the CIA payroll, and Timothy Leary and some of these other figures that, that shaped culture.
Yep.
And this doesn't seem like a far leap, you know, for us to be discussing people like Diddy being tied to some sort of government institution.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, his background is, and again, Jason Whitlock is, I should be this guy's public relations agent, but his show is really good. It is black centric, but if it still fascinates me, it will. But he did an expose on Diddy, a 2-part series right before they arrested him. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but I was aware, and I think I wrote a little bit of it in, I think it was in the probably Survival of the Riches, where I looked at this guy's background. And again, how does I used to say this about Don King. How does a guy who was a double murderer, he murdered two different people, how does he get in a position to get out of jail that quick and become this huge boxing promoter? Yeah. He was installed. Somebody is some help there. Same thing with Diddy. Diddy's father was a thug who was killed when he murdered when he was a young kid. He's not that educated. You listen to him talk. He's not really articulate or anything. How does he get in a position where somebody comes at a very young age and hands him a record label?
I think he went to
you run this. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, I look at that, and when I talked a little bit about Survival of the Richest, and Jason Whitlock talks about that. Cat Williams is the one who started that. He talked about being installed, and I'm glad he did that, because that's kind of the stuff I've been saying. I didn't use that term installed, but these people are installed. When you look at them, I mean, you can't figure out why they're there. I mean, what is Diddy's talent? Does he have tremendous talent or anything? No, he's not. He's not some kind of great musical artist or anything. He was handed a record label. And if you look at what Whitlock and those guys have showed, the disastrous impact that rap and hip hop world had on the black community, especially, but really everyone, a lot of young white kids listen to it too. Just where it celebrates this stuff. It celebrates stupidity. It celebrates violence. It's basically like Al Capone on steroids,
right,
where it glamorizes this gangster lifestyle. And it's been such a disaster. And this guy's the embodiment of that. So I'm happy to see him. I don't think anything will happen to him. He may end up in jail, and the guards will fall asleep again, and the sheets will be left out or something. But I don't expect he's going to spend. And you're certainly not going to get his client list any more than you're going to get Epstein's client list.
Right. No. You're not wrong. As far as what he does, I don't think his talent lied in any musical aspect of it, but he could spot talent. He's responsible for Mary J. Blige in a lot of ways, you know, and when he got fired from Uptown Records, Clyde Davis took him in immediately, maybe to be that guy, maybe to be the hip hop Epstein, you know, that's very possible. Yeah. But handed him a ton of money and handed him Bad Boy Records, and Big came over with him. And that's another guy that he's supposedly responsible for. He took he knew how to manipulate perception. He knew what was going to pop for people at a time. Like Mace, who was an artist for him. He was a gangster rapper, and he completely changed his image. And he sold millions of records as a result. And that was Diddy that was like, here's what we're going to do with you. You know, or the Lox, right? That was Jadakiss and he changed them from they're named the Warlocks, and he's like, nope, you guys are going to be named the Locks now, and here's what we're going to do with you, and it worked.
Well, the most amazing interview that I saw on Whitlock's show when he was doing this, he was exposing all hip hop, but you know, Tupac Shakur is like the Thug Life, you know, guy, and he's considered like the man, you know. People treat him like Elvis; they think he's still alive. He didn't really die, that kind of stuff. Well, he found this, and I tell you, this is where you go down the rabbit hole and why people believe in crisis actors and everything's hoaxed. He found an interview with a very effeminate Tupac Shakur, who was then known as Breezy or some really non-tough, stupid name, when he was 18 years old. And this guy is lisping and sounding, you know, as effeminate as can be, and talking about what he wants to do. There's not a sign of a thug or gangster about him at all. Nothing there. And then suddenly he gets this where he gets sent, and Jason talked about this, where he was supposedly shot 5 times, including twice in the head, and they wheel him out of the hospital the next day, Boston bombing style. And Whitlock's coming, he's right, and this guy, he comes out, he says, look, there's no way he was shot twice in the head, and he was released the next day. And after that, boom, he's Tupac Shakur, thug life, and he's the toughest guy in the world. That's the kind of stuff I think you deal with. These all the world's a stage, and I'm fascinated by that. But if you can find the archived version of Jason Whitlock, it's probably a couple weeks ago when he had the whole exposure on hip hop. But that you see that interview with Shakur, and that ought to open everyone's eyes, because that was not the same guy. That was an actor playing a role.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, like I mean, Tupac wasn't a gangster. You know, he gets that persona, but he wasn't gang affiliated in any way or anything like that. You know, he was just a wild guy that got signed up by Suge Knight and did what he did. It's like Prodigy from Mobb Deep. He was another guy that wasn't a gangster. But when he started rapping, he carried a gun with him everywhere and became that, because he wanted to give that perception. So that's what they were trying to do with these people. I believe he got shot. He definitely got shot that last time, right? Because he's dead.
Well, yeah, that well, you
know? Right. So, I mean, it's you know, yeah. it's but absolutely. Like the thing is, Diddy is a billionaire, or at least very close to it, and there's no real reason for him to be there, right? I mean, I don't think anybody can come up with a reason why he had billions of dollars. Like how?
Yeah.
You know, and I know he sold clothes, and he had Ciroc. And then all of this stuff must have been just handed to him. In my opinion, I don't understand.
What's ultimate is all.
And it's kind of like, you know, if you look at the timeline of Epstein, it took Bill Barr being named attorney general for him to have been arrested and then put in jail. Now, that's interesting, because if you go back and look at the relationship that Epstein had with Bill Barr's family, Bill Barr's father hired Jeffrey Epstein. Yes. They gave him his first job.
Wow.
To teach kids. Okay.
Without a college degree.
So it's almost like, yeah, with that. Right. It's exactly, Don. So is this, and this is an open question, is this another controlled demolition by the establishment who puts these people where they are, like Jim Mars would call them post turtles, like how that turtle get up on top of that post, somebody put them there. So is this another time where there was going to be more journalistic digs into Diddy? Maybe he crossed the wrong people. They're going to expose. Maybe the whole thing was going to unravel. So they decided to do something similar to what happened to Epstein, where they control the narrative. They initiate that. That's an open question. Was he being used that much as a tool where they're just getting rid of him? And another question to this is, you know, if you, again, we were talking about conspiracy and alternative media. I'm not above saying that even the elites, the people in entertainment, people that we see, when they get rid of somebody, I'm not in any way saying that they don't have some sort of ritualistic way that they get rid of people in a Luciferian ritualistic way. I kind of put it to akin to being thrown in the volcano. You know, like they pick out people that were once powerful, like Harvey Weinstein, you know, and like out of nowhere, he's just getting attacked by all sides. And then, you know, the Me Too movement happens and he's just completely sacrificed. Mm. That seems ritualistic to me, because it was very selective. And same thing here. It's like a traveling camera or something. And it just finds that person and lights them up. And it just, to me, I think it's interesting how it happens, where all the focus is on them, like R. Kelly. You know, R. Kelly, the thing was, it was funny because it was on Chappelle. And this is back in like 2003.
Chappelle
was making fun of it. You know, he had the whole "I want to pee on you" thing video. You know, so I mean, I mean, I knew about this, you know, at 23, and it was funny and all this. And of course, not the what he actually did, but it was funny that they was being made fun of. And then all of a sudden, 20 years later, like now he's getting convicted of stuff. And it's just bizarre. Like it's like it's selective. So it's an open question. I do think that a lot of entertainment is just, again, occultic.
Yeah,
I really do. I think it's a. I think it's a lot of. There's a lot of magic with a K put into our entertainments. And I was just in Hollywood, and you know, what does that mean? You know, what is the Hollywood? It's what the wood for the magic wands are made out of, and that's all true. So it's something to think about when we're. It's not. It's probably not just. It might be a combination of both, you know, whether it's intelligence has something with Diddy or law, you know, the feds or something. But he definitely is a gatekeeper and he was put there by someone. Yeah. I agree with that.
Shouts to Jordan Maxwell. I want to put me on to that. What kind of wood is the magic wand made from? Hollywood. Holly.
From the holly tree.
Yeah. What kind of wood was Harry Potter's wand made from, Billy? Hollywood.
Yeah.
All the time, you know. I remember, and it's true. It's true, right? So the wordplay there is crazy, right? Hollywood and the whole deal. There is no coincidence, in my opinion. I think you're right. And a lot of music. I mean, if there's ever evidence for magic in any sense, you want to call it, it's music. I always say that it can change your emotion like that. One tone, bring you down or bring you up, you know. It's beautiful. Love it. But not what Diddy's doing. Not that. Let's lock him up. Take that in jail for some time.
I'll be missing you, Diddy. So.
All right. I think I'm going to WrestleMania. My son really wants to go, so maybe we'll go. I mean, I have to leave. If I'm going to do that, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out, but maybe. Either way, I'm going to be watching from my living room if I'm not there. So I got to go to Philadelphia where it is and maybe meet the Strangler Steve King out there and a couple of other people. It'd be dope to see some of my friends out there at Mania. But it is a big weekend in the life of a professional wrestling fan. We're going to finish the story, folks. Cody Rhodes, what's up, man, dear? How are you? Cody Rhodes wins on Sunday, finishes the story, and becomes WWE champion without a doubt. It's going to be fun. So if you're not doing anything and you got Peacock, tune in to WrestleMania this weekend. It's going to be fun. Meek Mill is going to be there, surprisingly. And he's linked with Diddy and doing a bunch of stuff. I don't know why they would have him there, but they did. Somebody's not paying attention. Anyway, it's time to get up out of here. Tony Arterburn, glad to have you back. I'm glad you went out to Hollywood, saw California for a little bit, saw Mr. Tripoli and did tinfoil hat. Fantastic. Congratulations to you. And glad to have you back, buddy. Say what's up to the people. Tell them where they can find you.
Well, it's good to be back. I'm in Texas right now, and most likely I'll be in the Ozarks next week. I got business up there and check on my homestead, all that good stuff.
Dope.
Yeah, it was a great trip. Loved seeing Sam. He's always fun. It was great to be on Tinfoil Hat. And he mentioned right out of the gate, mentioned Don, mentioned you, and America Unplugged. And that's that. I always plug America Unplugged.
Fantastic!
It's a great, fun show. Great. It's an honor to be here with both of you every Saturday. You can find me at arterburn.news. That's my website and sponsor of this program, Wolfpack.gold. Subscription services. Go check it out for precious metals direct to your door. Gold hit its all-time high like four times in the last 30 days. There's something going on with our currency, folks. I've been talking about it for years, and I know that it's kind of boring. You look at a lot of technical jargon. I'm just telling you right now, gold is not going up. The dollar is losing purchasing power. That's what's happening. So go check out Wolfpack. You want to guard against that. There's some ways to guard against the loss of purchasing power and inflation.
Tony, I want to do a show with you about it on the Fringe. We're supposed to schedule it. Let's schedule it for this week. I want to talk about that, but I also want to have this lady on. I don't know if I'll be able to pull her, but if we do, you're doing the show with me. Sure. As no, a co-host. Sure. It was just really well done, the book so far. I'm not done listening to it. I'm gonna send you the name and the name of the author so we can discuss it or whatever. But it's really well done. I really like it so far. Don Jeffries, the legend. Oh, are you done, Tony? I'm sorry.
Yeah, brother, go ahead.
Legendary Don Jeffries, tell the people where they can find you.
As always, guys, the only place I'm not shadow banned is on this. Although, please, if you haven't or aren't following me on Twitter, try to follow me at Don Jeffries and let me know. Some of you do if you have trouble doing that or if they unfollow you, because I think they're still messing with me there. But, Twitter's loosened up a little bit. So please try to follow me there. At Substack is the only place I'm not shadow banned. Donald Jeffries at Substack.com. I protest just like my Friday podcast. Please subscribe if you haven't there. I write there two or three times a week, and that's where you'll find you can keep up with whatever you want to keep up with. You're interested in my thoughts about everything, the same kind of stuff you hear on this show.
All right, right. Fantastic. Gammy's in the chat. He says, Cody Nation, what's going on, Gammy? Good to see you, buddy. Let's shout out the chat real quick before we get out of here. Say what's up to YouTube. Don, who's over there, man? Don?
Oh, we got Tom Cooper, Geesebusters, Chris Buchan, who's giving the Jews a break as usual. Karen Carpenter, Raybo is out there. Duke Valentino, I guess he might have left. I don't know. Geese, he was giving us hell earlier. Dawn Lambert, Deborah Wheeler, I know I saw earlier in here. Let's see.
Yeah, thanks, so Deborah. Appreciate it if you're still here. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yes, she's so generous. Bronx Stomper 111. Let's see. Who else did I see here earlier? There's Deborah Wheeler.
After a while, it stops letting you scroll up. I don't know why it does it.
Yeah, that's pretty. Those are the highlights. I missed you. I apologize. But those are the people that were commenting the most. So
right. Everybody on the Twitterverse, what's going on with all you guys? I see you. I mean, I don't see your names, but I see your numbers. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. What's up, Jason Barker doing his thing at freeworld.fm.
Oh, Harps. I'm sorry. I missed Harps. Sorry, Harps.
Harps is in two places at once. Somehow he managed to get back into the Rockfin feed. I don't know how he did it. Well, I banned you like five times, Harps, and you figured out a way to get. I didn't ban you. I don't even know how to do that, but I'm glad to see you back. Yekka just tuned in. What's up, Yekka? How you doing? Make sure you tune into Yekka on the channel when she's doing her show. When is Yekka's show? It's on Friday, right? Right, Tony?
No, it's Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays?
Tuesdays at 12 o'clock.
Tuesdays noon, at 12 o'clock.
On Central Time, so 1 right. p.m. Eastern.
If you want to lose some weight, if you want to, you know, maybe change up your diet, maybe kick your depression, listen to Yekka. She's
had some great guests on. You should go check out her podcast. It's called Yeah, Yekka. She's had some great guests on the last couple of weeks, too.
Fantastic. Man, dear, what's going on? We're going to watch Mania. I know you're going to watch Mania, man. Tonight, it's going to be good. The Rock. Oh, The Rock said he wasn't going to endorse Joe Biden. We should have talked about that, but whatever. Who cares? Who cares what The Rock is going to do? happy Fun Balls is in the chat. What's up? How are you? Mr. Angus Mustang is in the chat. Mr. Gardner Goldsmith, the guy himself. How are you, sir? Good to see you. Hemp Car is here. I'd probably get high in that car just by looking at it. I don't smoke. I'm Cooper, TMP. What's up, Mr. Cooper? Let's do it next week, I think. I think it's next week, maybe, or 2 weeks from now. I'm not sure. Remind me, but I'll be hanging with Mr. Cooper. Happy Fun Balls again. Freethinker 59 is there. Gammy, Karen Carpenter pulling double duty. I saw you last night. Thank you for hanging out, Karen. I appreciate you. Risha M. What's going on? How are you? What else? We got Gammy here. Repeat customers. All the repeat offenders. I see you guys over and over again. Psalm 144. We had AM Wake Up in the chat as well. What's going on? I always like to shout out Colin Wysong. What's going on with you? How are you? And that's it. I don't see anybody else, man. I keep scrolling. It's the same people talking.
Oh, and I wanted to offer up something, and I was thinking about this when I was flying back from California. This show, I love America Unplugged, and it's unlike anything else I've done. It's something I've always wanted to do is this analysis, and we all have different backgrounds, different points. I think you guys like it. We need more people to see it, and we're in this little niche deal, and we're growing. We've been growing for a couple of years. It's just real slow climb. So I'm going to do something for the next couple of weeks, we'll just put our toe in the water. If you will go give us a 5-star rating over on Apple Podcasts or any podcast app, just give us a rating, say what you like about the show. Screenshot it, send it to me, and I will send you a 10th-ounce silver coin.
Jesus Christ. I'll
send it for free.
Hold. You know what? Let's take it a step further. You don't have to screenshot it and send it to Tony. We can just track it. Just do it.
Well, I'll track your information.
So
if you'll do that, we'll at least let the thing run for a couple of weeks.
You need their information. So screenshot it and send it to Tony.
Yes.
That's a hell of a freaking deal, man. Good Lord.
I was thinking about that when I was flying. And that's for anybody. If you've been listening to the show for a while, I've got some great 10th-ounce silver coins from the British Mint. They're Britannias. I bought like 5,000 of them for Wolfpack. So give us a review. It helps the show.
It does. It does.
And it helps us because the more we're out there, the more books Don can sell and more shows that we'll get asked on. And it helps us. It will give back. So it's a way that we can market and you can get something and get a Britannia. I should have some Britannias left. They're really pretty.
What's up, Patrick S? And we can shout them out here on the show.
Absolutely.
So you do that. Take a screenshot, send it to Tony, and we'll talk about it here.
Yeah. Send it. Go to one of my websites. You can go to wolfpack.gold or wisewolfgoldandsilver.com. Just email me, send it, screenshot it, and I'll have my crew. We'll do it. We'll send it out this week.
Yeah. There's a considerable number of people that listen. If each of you went over there and just gave us a rating, it would boost us like several times over and expose us to so many different people. So if you go over to Apple Podcasts and just hit a 5-star rating, that's really dope of Tony. Shouldn't surprise me, but it does. That's what he does, man. Ghost Bo is in the chat. What's going on? How are you? I saw Riley in the chat also while I was scrolling. Ron to Tate. How are you, Miss Tate? Good to see you as usual. But yeah, so that's a hell of an offer there by Tony, man. So if you go over there to our page on Apple and leave a review, screenshot it, 5 stars. It must be 5. Okay. Screenshot.
Yeah. Don't send me a 3-star. Like, I kind of like you. Where's my phone? No.
Has to be a 5-star review. Send it over to Tone and he'll hook you up. That's very generous.
Let's do that. It's good marketing. So at least we'll let it run for the next week or so and we'll see how it goes. We'll see where we stand next Saturday.
Let's see. That's it. That's incredible. That's an incredible offer here. And it's not going to last forever. So make sure you go ahead and do that. And it's not really going to take you much time. So yeah, Kat Goya, how you doing, Kat? How are you? Saw you yesterday. Foggy Trails. How are you? Geese Busters. We saw.
Right. Oh, and while I've got it, Jason Barker, if you're still listening, we got to link Jason with Don. We got to get Jason Barker with Don. We're going to fix his issue so he can go live.
Oh, yes, I know. And I keep meaning to get back to Jason. I'm sorry, I will. Yeah.
We get Jason with Don. And Jason, you and I are going to talk because we had the same issue today because of my equipment here. We're going to fix that too. So we're going to be working on Free World next week.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, don't give up on us.
All right. We're taking off. Everybody be good. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next week. Yeah. Don't burn the place down while I'm gone. Are we getting
there? You. Yep.
We good.